Hey everybody, and welcome into episode 11 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. We've got talking Game of Thrones, lots of Game of Thrones, also some Gamescom, man, and the new Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic and how quick it went off the shelves. So welcome in, join me, Kenny, and Nick for another great episode. Episode 11, enjoy the show. We'll talk to you soon. Let us know what you guys think on iTunes, Stitcher. Give us some 5-star reviews and make sure to share with all your friends out there and let everybody know what you think. Thanks. Enjoy.
And what more do you want tacked onto this? I turned myself into a pickle and 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares, Morty? Global acts of terrorism happen every day. Here's something that's never happened before. I'm a pickle. I'm Pickle Rick!
Man, that was good. All right, hey, welcome everybody for episode 11 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. I'm sitting here with my main man Nick, starting us off hot and heavy with number 11. What's up, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Happy to be here.
Ah, good.
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for me. I'm happy for our audience. They get to come in, listen to us, our melodious voices, tell them sweet, sweet nothings. So, what's been going on, man? How's your week been going?
Oh, it's been, I started out the weekend, actually. We went to Broken Bow, which is a park there in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Kind of on the border of the Ozark Mountains. So, really nice scenery. Did a canoe and just laid back and had some fun with some really good friends. So it was nice to have that opportunity to go out there.
Nice, man. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, dude. That's cool. So let's just hop into this, man. We had some big kind of gaming news. Obviously, we've had Gamescom going in Germany right now. So one of the bigger gaming conferences in the whole world going on currently. And they actually dropped some pretty big news today, dude. They actually talked about that Microsoft and Sony are talking cross-play capabilities, dude.
That's huge.
Like, that seemed to me, that is just amazing that we finally have these two mega behemoths talking about getting their fan bases together in an online environment.
Yeah, growing up, like in high school and stuff, I wanted so much for Halo to be on PlayStation.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Or you know,
I was
what?
Like, why can't this be on PlayStation?
Well, and that's one of those things. Like, obviously, not every game is going to be, you know, one console to the other. But what's really cool about the crossplay is if there's online features, we can play against each other, right? So,
right.
It's one of those things where the biggest thing that they kind of announced was the new Injustice 2. That's going to be one of the first games that's kind of going to get this feature. So, nice fighting game. Obviously, the DC Mortal Kombat mashup is going to be going to get the first, which I think is cool. Like, anytime you can expand an online audience where you're getting more matches, more gameplay, all those different types of things, that's awesome to hear.
So, it's not a matter of sharing games. It's actually a matter of interacting with people on different systems online.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's all about online interaction.
I was misconstruing that.
And it's just in talks. Like, I say Injustice might be the first one. It probably won't be. Like, this could be, you know, a couple of console generations out even. There's news all over the place. But what we do know is Microsoft has confirmed it. Like, Microsoft is like, yep, we're in the talks. We're trying to get games together. We're trying to talk this thing out to see what we can make work to let our two fan bases play with each other. And not only play with each other, but, I mean, how cool would it be? I mean, you kind of have a little bit of it, right? You already have, like, PC to PlayStation 4 or PC to Xbox, right? Like, there's some games out there that already do that. But what's really cool about this is now it's no longer one of those things where, like, I have to choose a console because my friends have it and I can't play with them.
That is a huge, huge deal.
I mean, there's already so many times where you are playing your PlayStation. Like, I'm a huge Sony guy. I love my PlayStation. I'm a big, big fan of it. But the other thing is I'm a huge Nintendo fan. And hopefully Nintendo will get in on these conversations. Obviously, it's Sony and Xbox talking right now. But I would love for them to obviously jump in as well. But the other thing is when everybody likes to come to me. I don't know about you, man, but I know I have a lot of other friends. And they're always like, oh, Cassius, like, should I get the PlayStation or the Xbox, right? And everybody's like, what's the better buy?
Right.
And I just always have to kind of tell people, like, well, what are your other friends on? Like, I'm on a PlayStation. I love my PlayStation. You should get a PlayStation. And they're like, well, all my other friends have Xbox. I want to play online games with them. Okay, well, then go get an Xbox. I think now that conversation doesn't have to happen as much anymore if these two companies are seriously, legitimately, and actively talking about getting together and sharing the online space with each other.
That is just so cool. I don't know why this didn't happen sooner.
Yeah, that's one of those things, right, is obviously these companies can corner a marketplace if they just keep the online space to their player base only. But the thing is the way the internet works and everything like that now, it seems ridiculous that you only are sheltering your team to one part or piece of who they can play with. I think that's what's brought PC gaming kind of back from the depths and really had a really big resurrection and a renaissance of PC gaming. Is now if you have a PC, you can play with anybody else on a PC. You can play with anybody else on a Mac system. Like, that whole world is so much bigger because everybody has an opportunity to play with those players. And what's always been that hurdle is PlayStation and Xbox playing on the same field with each other. So I think that's just huge news. Like, to even hear whispers and rumors, like, even if this turns out to be a big old hoax from Gamescom and, you know, people like IGN and GameSpot that are reporting on this are completely wrong and this was all a hoax, like, that's just exciting news. Like, that's just so cool to think that these companies could come together like that.
I agree.
I mean,
how cool would that be just to be able to share your online experience, not just with one base, your PlayStation base or your Xbox base. You can bring them together and you don't have to ask that question anymore. Oh, what are you on?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, if all of a sudden they start turning it where you can start playing between both systems, what I really think is going to happen, though, is this will help create a lot more of a competitive online pricing scheme, right? Where, like, I'm not really sure what the Xbox Gold membership fees are. I could probably Google it here real fast, but I'm not going to because that's the nerd mosh pit. I don't feel like doing that shit right now. But, like, with PlayStation, right, you know, I pay like, what, $5 a month for that guy or something like that, $3.99 a month, whatever it is. I think the $3.90 a month is actually the Switch. But PlayStation Plus, like, it's not cheap, man. It's a decent little chunk of change. But what's really cool is if, you know, PlayStation Plus membership is cheaper than Xbox, now they kind of have to, you know, now all of a sudden those kind of things come into consideration, not just, oh, what are my friends playing or anything like that, but now it can really be, oh, man, well, who has the cheaper online system, who has the cheaper online play, right? Like, that can now become a conversation of that, and hopefully it'll make that a lot more competitive, because I know, you know, neither of these are like super inexpensive products as far as like your online gaming base with Xbox Gold membership or the PlayStation Plus, but I think that brings all of a sudden a lot of competition into there all of a sudden, and if someone's a lot lower, even if it's $12 to $15 lower, that can make a difference for somebody, you know.
Yeah, it's going to keep them honest because it's like two gas stations on opposite sides of the street. They're pretty much going to have the same price for unleaded gas. I can't imagine Xbox Online versus PlayStation Online being that different.
No, I agree. I really agree. And the thing is, it's usually the services aren't very different, right? Usually it's one of those things where everybody gets a couple free games a month. Everybody gets a really big discount code. And the 1 year PlayStation Plus right now is about $60. So, you know, definitely not just an easy game. That's a full game. And if all of a sudden these guys can, you know, all of a sudden if prices for online subscriptions drop by $15-$20 or something like that, that'd be amazing, man. Like, I think that would be really cool. I think that'd be a huge base for people to be really a lot more incentive for you to hop on and pay for those online services. So I dig it, man. I think it's really cool. I love that kind of stuff is going on because I think that just creates a little bit more of a competition. And then at that point, man, it really is about like who's running cleaner specs, and maybe there'll be a little bit less of that Xbox, PlayStation fanboyism, things of that nature. And then we're really just having these companies compete spec-wise and tech-wise and really putting out great hardware and things of that nature, which they do. They put out great hardware and they like to compete against each other. But, man, these races are like won and loss of who hits – the floor first, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that changes, man. I think it could be very interesting on how the console wars change with that. And I think they have to do something, too, because the mobile space itself, like with mobile gaming on phones, the 3DS, the Switch now as well, that's taking a huge chunk out of these guys' asses, man. Like, mobile gaming is taking a huge chunk out of the console wars as well as the revitalization of PC gaming. So, I don't know. We'll see if this is enough to kind of bring console gaming back to the forefront.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, eventually they're probably going to have to follow suit in order to get that piece of the pie back.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see, man. It's pretty exciting stuff. So, the other big news was Nintendo has released, actually, they just released their Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic. So, their SNES Classic. Obviously, last year they released their NES, their Nintendo Entertainment System Classic, where basically, you know, you got 15, whatever it was, 20 games released on a mini version of the console, and that was really cool. Sold out super fast, was very limited quantities, and I mean, just went gangbusters. People went nuts for it. People I know that have it are going nuts for it. And now the SNES is out, right? So the SNES Classic is out.
It's out?
Yeah, it already got the pre-orders just got released for it. So
what?
Pre-orders got released for it, and they went crazy, crazy fast. We had websites reporting less than 30 seconds release window. They had these consoles sold out.
Jeez.
So it's pretty gnarly. Every company basically that had any type of online order was sold out within the first 5 minutes. Places, you know, Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, Target, all of them gone within 5 minutes to 3 minutes on some sites, people reporting. So it's basically looking like, even though Nintendo promised us that this thing is going to get released with more units, it's going to be next to impossible to get one of these damn things for a decent
price.
That
is insane. That is insane.
They just pull classic Nintendo. That's what they do.
They starve the marketplace of consoles, and they want people to go and fight it out, which is crazy to me because they make no money on the resale value, which just is so weird. And it's not like they're going to go release another, a set of this for shipment, right? So currently, GameSpot is reporting that B&H Photo Video has not released a pre-order schedule yet, so there's still opportunity there. Play Asia is currently unavailable as well for pre-order, but there's a possibility there for them to come out with something as well. The only major player I see here that did not do any kind of pre-order release online was Toys R Us, and they have come out and said they will not do an online pre-order system.
I don't think you should online pre-order for a brick and mortar.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Best Buy did it, GameStop did it, Target did it, Walmart did it, and they are all gone. They're completely sold out. So
it kind of takes away the excitement from waiting in line.
I mean, you can, but no, you can pre-order it. I think you should be able to pre-order if you go to the store. But I mean, you can pre-order online if it's going to get shipped to you. But I think a lot of people pre-order online, and it just floods everything with pre-orders, and most people, I guarantee, are buying three or four of them and reselling them.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So I don't know if there was any stipulation on how many you could purchase, anything like that. But one of the big things that they talked about on here is the resale market already, right? Like, people have purchased this, and they're selling their pre-orders for the SNES Classics, right? So I'm on eBay currently right now. No one, don't go on there, guys. I know, Kenny, you're probably already looking at it. So this console originally sold for $80, $79.99. What do you think the pre-orders are at currently? Looking at eBay kind of averages right now.
It's at
$249
and $500. So it looks like they're averaging anywhere between $290 to $350.
Jesus Christ.
What a profit.
Yeah, that is just bonkers, man. Like, it is pretty wild to see that. I'm blown away, man. I really am. I'm very happy that I have my original Super Nintendo still. I have all the games I would want to play on it. The only game on this, though, that really kind of sent the fanboys crazy was a version of Star Fox 2 that was never released stateside, ever. So that's like the one game that no one's ever seen out here in the United States. No one's ever played out here. So people are trying to justify purchasing this for that game. But for me personally, everything that I would ever want on that SNES Classic is I already have on an original Super Nintendo as well. But, you know, there's an argument for future generations being able to play this thing for a lot more years than, you know, no one really knows how long those Super Nintendos are going to keep lasting. But as long as I keep mine clean, it's been out here for, should have had that thing for 20 years already, so.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it all to happen.
Here's to another 20 more.
Yeah, here's to another 20 more. I appreciate that. Thank you. But yeah, I think it's pretty bonkers that people are just selling their pre-orders for them, man. Like, it's pretty wild, so. Way to go, eBay, and drive up the price of everything resale world. So, yeah.
Hi, guys, by the way.
Welcome in, Kenny. How you doing,
Kenny?
Man?
Sorry.
Hey, buddy.
You know,
no,
kid didn't want to sleep, so, you know.
It happens, man. No worries. So, so that's kind of the big news, man. We talked about it. So, Kenny, if you hadn't heard, man, what we talked a little bit earlier was, Microsoft has confirmed that them and PlayStation at Gamescom are talking about possible crossplay for internet, services.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
exactly. Nick and I talked about that. I think it's going to really change the game and, really change the online space for consoles. And we'll see if this helps kind of revitalize that market a little bit. It's been getting a little stagnant,
I still think crossplay between PC and consoles would be great. I mean, for example, I went to the bars with my friends a couple weeks ago, and they're all like, you love Blizzard games. We all play Overwatch. I was like, oh, on PC? They're like, no, PlayStation 4. And I was like, fuck. You know, so.
Well, that's the thing, right? So PC has a couple of crossplay games with stuff like Xbox, I believe. They might have a couple with PlayStation. But most of it's with, actually there's a few, PlayStation, PC stuff.
That new pirate game is supposed to support it. The new pirate game.
Yeah.
For Xbox.
Well, the thing is though, is there's not a ton of games that I think it really matters on. I mean, a lot of the stuff I'm kind of looking at the list right now, and there's nothing on here where I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that's crossplay. It's a lot of older stuff. It's a lot of, older games they've kind of revitalized through PlayStation, Steam networks, things like that. But I think this is just a big news, man. I think, like I said, you know, Nick and I talked plenty about it. So let us know what you guys think, man. Hit us up at nerdmoshpit@gmail.com, nerdmoshpit on Twitter, and let us know what you guys think, if this is going to be a game changer or if it's just kind of meh. We've been kind of waiting on some of these big these big news pieces from Gamescom, and that's pretty big, man. I think that's a pretty big showing, especially considering we've seen some cool games from Gamescom already. But to hear that Microsoft, especially coming from Microsoft, like Xbox is like, no, we are in active talks with Sony to do this. So, like I said, we'll see if it's a hoax. We'll see if it's something that's to watch, or we'll see if they just gave us the good old dick tease that we've all, you know, thought about.
Oh, that would suck if it was a dick tease.
That's what it's there for, man.
Every time.
That's all they do.
Absolutely. So, what you guys been watching, man? What kind of movies you guys been watching since last we spoke?
Oh, fuck. I watched this really good documentary. Shit, Nick, you go first.
Well, I... I haven't watched anything new, so go ahead, Kenny.
I watched Beauty and the Beast on a plane and cried a little.
No, yeah? You got something going on in your back there, dude. You running something crazy? It's kicking into your mic.
That's not me. I think that's Nick.
One of you.
Yeah, it could have been me.
It's one of you doing something weird. Please stop triggering.
The computer looks like it is explode soon, so if I disappear for some reason, I can't see my desktop is black, so
no, I just had to walk to another room real quick, so you probably heard some ambient noise,
probably what that was. Sorry, everybody.
So I watched Beauty and the Beast on the plane on the way to Carolina. It was pretty awesome, actually. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Right, it was just a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just a good movie. Absolutely. I mean, Disney always just kills it with musicals. I'm sorry.
So there's an Easter egg in that, because I actually purchased it when it got released on digital, because I enjoyed it so much in the theater. And I watched some of the deleted scenes from that film. And there is a scene when, like, the house is, like, fighting back all the villagers and everything like that. That Josh Gad, the guy who plays LeFou, goes into a bathroom, and the toilet is played by Stephen Merchant. the tall skinny guy, British skinny guy, and he spits a bunch of water at him and all this stuff, and it's like all this nasty water that it never actually got shown in the original film. But it is a funny, hilarious scene in the deleted scenes on that. So if you guys get a chance, I recommend checking that out. It's a pretty funny looking scene that I wish that they could have made it, but obviously Disney took the high road and pulled out the toilet joke.
That's what they do, man. So I watched that on a plane. I also watched a documentary called The Kill Team on Showtime about, of course I forgot his name, but he basically, it has to do with the military, and my sides are out of it, right? But basically this guy was in the military, and he was part of a squad of guys who renamed themselves the Kill Team, and they would set, they would basically get, what they call them, like dummy guns or whatever. They would set up fake attacks by someone on the street and then just kill them. Yeah. And it was part of like a game for them to like kill these like random civilians. It was really, really sad, but really makes you think a little. And then the one I just finished was called I Know What I Saw, and it was about UFOs, and it was much more. It was much more cheery than The Kill Team. And it was actually a really, really good documentary. I mean, Matt, Nick, you believe in aliens or what?
Yes.
Yeah, so I definitely do.
Universe is too big.
Kind of growing up in Arizona especially, there's like a very big it's actually a movie called The Fire in the Sky. And there is like a huge urban legend of Arizona of a work crew that got abducted by aliens out there. And, you know, it was actually a really big news scene and story out there. And that, like, everybody in Arizona is kind of embedded with this aliens do exist, and we have this evidence of it. And it was actually, it's actually a great film called Fire in the Sky that I recommend people checking out, too.
Well, oh, was that 1992 or something?
Yeah, yeah, it's early, like it's probably early 90s, late 80s, if you go back any further.
Yeah, I saw that movie a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, here's the crazy part about the documentary, right? And even in my mind, you know, a lot of people think, you know, people who saw UFOs are, you know, whack jobs in the middle of the desert. But, I mean, this guy goes to a conference in Europe, and it's got people from all over the world, and not Joe Schmo people. I mean, retired captains from the military, fucking physicists, scientists, all sorts of people who have firsthand, like, viewings and sightings of UFO, and they have unclassified documents that no one's really dug through and seen before. And it's just so much like smart, genuinely smart people saying, yeah, we're not full of shit. You know, it's really, really interesting how it goes about. It really makes you think.
There's been lots of reports of airline pilots seeing UFOs.
Yeah, a bunch of airline pilots, Air Force pilots, just like sergeants in the military and stuff, all retired guys. And they're all just like, even freaking one of the astronauts talks about how he's seen one, you know, and he's like, well, no one's ever heard about it because you can't talk about shit because it's classified. And the guy's like, well, you can still figure out about it if it's classified. He goes, obviously, you've never dealt with classified information before.
Yeah, when there's that many intelligent people saying the same thing, you know that there's some credence to it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And I was like, wow, like these guys definitely aren't Joe Schmo guys, so.
No, that's cool. That sounds awesome. What was the name of that one again? I Know What I Saw.
Yeah, it's on Showtime Anytime.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Oh,
I love that kind
guys,
of stuff.
Guys, I did rewatch a movie.
Ooh.
I know I'm jumping into another topic here and kind of breaking it up. But again, a movie that's constantly just underrated when people are talking about scary movies, but Funny Games.
Oh, yeah. Funny Games is fantastic. I love that movie.
Amazing movie. I rewatched that again yesterday.
So good.
So awesome.
Oh, so creepy, too.
So if any of y'all haven't seen Funny Games, I highly recommend that you go see it. Nice. It's on Netflix. It's not hard to access.
So I actually had like a really cool week of a lot of movies. So I had a weekend just kind of filled with them. I had a couple free movie passes at Alamo Drafthouse, so I went and used those up. And I had a weekend where I didn't really have to do a whole lot. I didn't have any meetings or anything to worry about, anything like that. So I was just really excited for it. So I went and watched Brigsby Bear. This is a movie starring Mark Hamill and a couple other guys that made it up. It's actually from produced by Lonely Island. So if you don't know that, that's the guys. God, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now?
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg. Yeah. So they obviously they did Hot Rod, all that kind of stuff, but they did this, and it is the most heartwarming, feel good film I've probably have ever seen. If you watch, if you think of something like Little Miss Sunshine or something like that, where you just feel good, a family coming together, all this stuff, like Bigsby's Bear knocks it out of the water of how much it just feels good to watch it. So.
Nice.
Can't recommend that one enough. I love that film. I also went and watched Detroit. And you want to talk
about
something that is just kind of uncomfortable in general. Be the only white man in a theater filled with black people watching black people get beat and killed. I'm going to tell you right now, there were just some moments where you're like, man, that is some fucked up shit. Because here's the thing, right? We are all taught, everywhere in the United States of America, we're taught about slavery. We are taught about the horrors that the African-American, the African communities went through in this country that kind of built this country. And you know, the shame that it is to know that this country is kind of built on slavery, right? The thing that they don't talk about is the shit like this that went down in Detroit in the 60s where... This was like recent atrocities of what went on with this. And this film, I have never, and it wasn't just, obviously it wasn't just me being in a room filled with black people all, you know, ah, man, what the hell? You know, I mean, they were kind of going off about it because it just was some fucked up shit. Like, it really was this horrible, horrible things going on in this film, but they captured the tension so well. They captured where these cops were trying to sit in their head and look out for each other and justify their actions. And it's just horrible, inhumane acts against humanity that these guys were committing. And obviously you can go and read up on the stories and anything like that. So I'm not going to spoil anything for you because you can go and look that shit up. But to see, you know, and I'm not going to get political. I'm just talking about this film, but to watch these guys who committed just straight murder and terror acts and kidnapping to a certain extent and be completely absolved of all wrongdoing because it's in the line of service is just kind of ridiculous to me. And man, watching this film, it really put in a very big way perspective. And I really can't tell you how much I loved this film, how much I enjoyed this film. And whether you believe in the politics of it or not, I have to say I recommend this movie 120% over because it just was phenomenal. It really was.
Awesome. Awesome. How did our boy from Star Wars,
John Boyega, was phenomenal. John Boyega, first of all, John Boyega from everything from Attack the Block, Star Wars, this, and anything I've really seen him in has been phenomenal. And this was zero exception to how good of an actor he is. And he was great as well. I mean...
Awesome, awesome.
The other one that was actually... The other guy that was really good that you just... And the reason why he was so good is... And what was awesome is we just had an episode on great villains. Was the kid with the crazy eyebrows from Maze Runner. He is one of the police officers in this film. And he is just a, you hate him. You hate him with a passion in this film. And there's,
that's a good villain.
It is a great villain.
Good
it
villain.
It is a great villain in this. And he does such a good job of you just wanting to smack the shit out of him. And it was great, man. So go check out Detroit. I also watched Logan Lucky. Logan Lucky is kind of a redneck Ocean 11, if you will. They actually called it, in the movie they have a quote, they call it the Ocean 7-Eleven heist movie because it's basically a bunch of rednecks that rob NASCAR. And they rob a motor speedway that has its own vault system. It's got Channing Tatum. It's got Daniel Craig. It's got Adam Driver. And this film was a lot of fun. It was pretty dark. It was very over the top. I'm usually not into a lot of heist films. I'm not a big fan of the Ocean's movies or like Italian Jobs with car races, anything like that. I'm just not a big heist guy. But this was a lot of fun. It definitely wasn't as good and entertaining as things like Detroit or Bigsby Bear. But Logan Lucky was still a lot of fun. And if you dig heist films, you'll probably really, really enjoy this because it was fantastic. It was a really good heist-style film, and it had a really fun twist with the with the good old boys and rednecks in the South robbing some NASCAR. Man, it was actually really cool. I did enjoy it. So, but before we jump into anything else, because we're on the subject of movies, I want to go nerdgasm right now. So we're gonna jump into nerdgasms because my nerdgasm was revolving around a movie. And Alamo Drafthouse, they do these wonderful things called movie parties, and they give you props, and it's older movies that people know, and they encourage you to sing along if there's if it's a musical or to quote the movies. I went to one with Army of Darkness where they gave us all plastic shotguns and foam chainsaws, and we yelled boomsticks and hail to the king, all this stuff. I went to another one with Willy Wonka and they gave us bubbles to blow around and candy dots and things of that nature. And this one I actually went was with Hot Fuzz. And you want to talk about a fantastic movie-going experience when people get all the same humor of a Cornello trilogy-style film with Hot Fuzz. They gave us Alamo Drafthouse, first of all, did an amazing job with this one because they gave us all little sheriff badges. We also got cap guns with caps to make noise with. They gave us like party poppers, and they had a phenomenal alternate menu, and all these great things were going on. And what was so cool is obviously in Hot Fuzz, they have the two like major moments where they're watching Point Break, right? They get to see one of the greatest films of all time. And they show the scene where Keanu is looking at Patrick Swayze jumping over the fence and he can't shoot him and he fires up in the air and he's screaming and yelling. And so at that point, everybody pulled out their cap guns and fired in the air with him. So like the whole theater like is lighting up with cap guns going off at that scene and everybody's yelling and screaming during it. Alamo Drafthouse, if I cannot tell everybody out there, if you do not have one, there is nothing better than a movie going experience at an Alamo Drafthouse because they just understand what great movies are about and they bring people from your communities in to have a great moment like that. So it was just so much fun. I cannot tell you, like, I was loving every single second of it. It was an absolute blast watching that film with a bunch of other people that knew all the quotes and all the lines. Like, I don't know that movie that well, but when the whole theater is like for the greater good at the same time, because they know the lines and things like that, it made that movie so much more fun and more enjoyable than it already is. I mean, Hot Fuzz is arguably one of my favorite, cop films, and it's really underrated as far as the action goes. I can't tell you how much I love Hot Fuzz. If you haven't seen it in a while, go and check it out. Like, it's actually like, just for the action aspects of it, it is really, really underrated. I think they pull it off in a great way. I mean, say what you want about Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, but those dudes are fantastic on screen together. So I loved it, man. That was my nerdgasm on the week by far.
Nice.
What about you guys? You guys got anything?
I got a nerdgasm.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, my nerdgasm actually was from today. I was kind of disappointed with my service, with my bundling of AT&T with my cell phones for me and my wife, my TV, and also my internet. Because
those dirty dogs robbing you all the time, right?
I tried to get them to do it a couple months ago, and nothing went through. So I called them back saying how disappointed I was. I'm like, so is there anything you're going to be able to do for me for this disappointment? And they're like, no, we don't have any promotions going on. I was like, okay, well, can I talk to your retention department then?
Ooh. And then as soon as that – retention department. You even know the department name. I just think, give me somebody
better. As soon as I said that, the guy was like, oh, is there any particular reason you need to talk to him? He's like, let me see what I can do for you real quick. So he just got on his computer. I guess he found a promotion, and he's like, okay, so I got something for you. He's like, $20 off your bill and free HBO for a year.
No! Oh, nice.
He's like, I'll take it. Man. Free HBO for a year. I'll take
retention
it.
Retention department. All right, I know what to use now. I know who to talk to you now.
No, it's retention department because it's they're trying to retain their clients. Yeah. So, amazing. It worked. And I got free HBO for a year. It's awesome.
Because the thing for them, for those companies, it's not about those little extra packages they're selling you. It's just keeping you as a damn customer.
Absolutely.
They're already making freaking money hand over fist. Yeah. They just want to keep you around.
It's keeping you paying for the DVR service that they get charged nothing for, things like that. So that's what they care about.
But that was a huge nerdgasm for me.
That's awesome.
Not having to pay for my favorite shows. Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you, man. Congratulations on that. Kenny, you got anything? Got any rants, nerdgasms, anything, man?
I have one kind of nerdgasm is just meeting people where I felt out of place who were just as big of nerds as I was. When I went to North Carolina over the weekend for a wedding, and it was an awesome weekend. And my friend out there just bought this new huge house, and of course, you know, take it easy the nights before the wedding. That didn't happen. He had a kegerator, so he was having parties every night with everyone that was coming in town from the wedding. And I'm talking to these two people, and I had my I bought a shirt from DOS Bootleg with the office space scene where they're beating up the printers.
Nice.
Yes.
And they're like, man, fucking sweet shirt, man. A PC load letter or whatever it is. And we start laughing, and then we start talking, and they're like, I told them about the company and stuff, and then they said something about a con that they went to. I was like, wait. You guys have gone to a con? They're like, yeah, we go to a con in Florida every year, because they were from Florida. I was like, man, I go to Comic-Con San Diego every year. And they were like, no way. And I was like, yeah, man. And then before you knew it, like, we spent the next hour talking about Game of Thrones, Westworld, just all sorts of stuff, just like nerding out to our heart's content. And I was
very
like,
nice.
That's so cool, because you would see them and you wouldn't really guess.
That's awesome.
You know, they looked very nice and, you know, like they had a lot of dignity, and I didn't at the time.
Dignity.
You know?
Jeez.
Give yourself more credit, man.
Come on, Kenny.
We were partying, and they showed up later in the night, so everyone there was, like, raging, and they just showed up and were, like, just sipping a beer in the corner. And then before you knew it, they were my best nerd buddies.
Nice,
so.
Man. That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. Well, glad you guys had that. So let's so you talk about some movies, man. Let's just hop right into some TV, dude. Let's
Oh wait. Sorry, I know I'm late, but I did play a lot of Sonic.
Oh yeah, Sonic Mania. Yeah, what'd you think?
God, it reminded me of Crash Bandicoot. How I'm just impressed by my patience because I would get stuck on one act for like three or four playthroughs after dying, and I was on the plane and I was like getting pissed, and the person next to me is like, this guy just needs to calm down a little. You know?
This gentleman needs to lay off the blue hedgehog over here.
I know, but
sir, you know, sir, I'm going to need you to calm
down. Sir, I'm going to need you to get your dignity back and stop hating on Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, exactly. But I love it, though. I love what they've done to it. They keep that retro feel. And like you said, Matt, they add in those different things in the different stages. Like you said, with the changing the water on that one stage to be like bouncing.
Yeah, yeah, the chemical plant.
Those little things is what makes the game. So I would love to see more of them as I'm playing through. They're kind of they're around, but not as prevalent as I would like. But it's still a great throwback. And for $20, man, I've probably played it for a good 3 hours already. So
yeah, absolutely, you know, no, totally very good use of time.
I love how all you need is a coin to stay alive.
Yeah, that's the thing with Sonic that changes
smart.
Up. Yeah, you can just always hold on to that one coin. No, that's always been the weird thing with Sonic 2 is the one coin. The thing that always bugged me about it, though, is he can't breathe underwater. Like, come on. Like, Mario can do it, you can do it, Sonic. I believe in you.
Yeah. Come on, he's like a rodent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah,
he
definitely breathe underwater.
He should live a while under there. Cool, man. So let's jump into some TV. So the first show I want to talk about, since we all have been watching it, and Kenny, hopefully you're caught up on it, Rick and Morty, man. What'd you guys think of Vindicators 3?
Oh, you're going to hate me.
Did you not watch it?
You didn't see it, did you?
No.
Oh, here's the reason why you'd love this episode more than anything, Kenny, is because it shits on and makes fun of, like, superheroes. And
oh, I would love that.
Yes, Kenny, you would love that. I was actually thinking of Kenny when I was
absolutely
this.
No, I was the whole time. I'm like, I can't wait to talk to Kenny about this because he's gonna love shitting on this with us. But it was just a lot of fun. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch Rick show all these superheroes that they're absolutely nothing special at all. He builds a death trap with them after being blackout drunk. I mean, just phenomenal, wonderful version of the show for sure. What'd you think of it, Nick?
Dude, I loved it. I love how they incorporated, you know, like they incorporate a lot of movies into the Rick and Morty themes. And with this one, they kind of incorporated Saw.
Yeah, they not only did they incorporate like Guardians of the Galaxy and like Avengers, but they incorporated them into a Saw movie where they killed them all off piece by piece by piece.
It was just awesome how he did that. I mean,
Saw
Morty.
I'm not a hack. I'm a drill. You know, I love that. And you know, this is like Saw.
I love Rick's attitude. I love his attitude towards life. It's just. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and no, Kenny, so you'll have to watch about it. We'll talk a little bit more about it. And then, Nick, did you watch the newest episode with the Rick and Jerry episode?
I haven't got to see that one yet.
We'll talk about that one next week. I'm all caught up on that. So that one was really funny, too. But we won't go too deep into that one. What was, like, your favorite part of
it? I do have it recorded.
I was gonna say, what was your favorite part of the Vindicators one?
Mine? Yeah. My favorite part was the very first Vindicator to die was my favorite part.
When he tries to get out of there and gets in the roof and he gets chopped in half, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. That was my absolute favorite part because that guy was kind of a douchebag. So
my favorite...
I just love seeing that guy
go. There's a character on there called Ghost Train, and his power is that he summons Ghost Train, right? And the Ghost Train is filled with ghosts, and at one point Rick threatens him and is like, listen up, man, if you don't shut your ass up, there's going to be one more ghost on that Ghost Train. And I don't know why I laughed so hard at that line, but for some reason how he delivers it is just drunk Rick. It tickles me in all the right spots, so I absolutely love that part. I really
do. Million Ant-Man,
yeah. Million Ant-Man. How would Million Ant-Man wear pants? Would each ant wear pants, or would he have pants?
I don't know.
That's a good question for you guys. Think about it. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes, man. The big show of the week. We had Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones is notorious.
I didn't watch it.
Bullshit.
I'm kidding. Exactly. Yeah, I finished it this morning.
Dude, Kenny, exactly.
I finished it in my car this morning before I went to work.
If you hadn't watched it, we're gonna kick you.
My thing would have been like, I would have just been like, well, why did you even get the fuck on? Because you'd have been useless today. Like, there's no reason for you to even be.
I already am.
Yeah, there's no reason for you to be on here. Go find your dignity in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's so far. Well, it was funny because Heather started watching with me again.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, you know, and then we were watching it last night, and she was starting to do the ask why someone's doing something.
Oh, God.
And at one point, she's like, I should just walk out of the room, huh? I said, no, you can stay, just don't
stop
ask.
Stop asking,
like,
stop asking.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show.
But that's kind of cool. We don't have a lot of shows to watch together, so it's kind of cool. At least it's Game of Thrones. It could be something.
Absolutely. No, it's awesome.
You got to hand her a tablet. Here's HBO Go. Have fun. Binge watch it.
We watched it. Well, no, she's watched all the old seasons. She just hasn't watched like this one or like really much of the last one. But she watched all the old ones with me. But
gotcha.
It was funny. We were watching it last night, and I'm like, "Fuck! It's like 11:30. I got to be at work early tomorrow. I have a ton of meetings all day. I need to make sure I'm not falling asleep in them." I was like, "Okay, so you know, there's 20 minutes left. Whatever, we'll finish it tomorrow." And then like this morning, I woke up and I was like, oh, shit, I got to record tonight. I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to finish it before I record. Shit, watching it in my car.
That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. So Game of Thrones, right? So they're, like, notorious for the episode before the season finale to be usually the best episode
of
the season, for sure, right? I don't know if that's the case here. I don't know if this episode was better than some of the others. I felt like it just had so much build-up to something good at the end.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's that much better than all the other shows like that you have with like Battle of the Bastards and stuff, but it was good.
Well, and that's the thing, and let's just, you know, put it in the microcosm that it is this season. Obviously, yeah, it's definitely not near the scale like Battle of the Bastards was last season. Nowhere close.
Nothing will ever be.
Yeah,
Battle
of the Bastards was one of my favorites, or even things like the Red Wedding. Right, like the Red Wedding was a episode before finale episode. You know,
that was a heart attack episode right there.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my fucking god.
That was one of those ones where you're like, all right, well, I'm hooked into this shit for a while. I won't be able to pull away from this.
It was good. I still have some issues with how the story is right now and kind of how the episode went. But it was a great episode, yeah. Don't get me wrong. So, you know, but
so let's skip ahead, right? Obviously, we had like the fun moments and the Hound. It was giving out great one-liners the whole time. And, you're whomping, you know, you're whomping when your mouth is moving. Stop being a bitch, Gendry. Like, I love that shit. Like, I love that stuff. That was some good stuff. But so when we finally capture, we finally capture the White Walker, right? They go, they get stuck in the middle of this lake. They're sitting in there, they're chilling. Gendry gets out of there, gets a letter off to Daenerys. And then we have like this really kind of, then we finally get into something cool and awesome where the Drogon and the other dragons are torching up some White Walkers, man. Like, definitely badass moment, yep. For sure. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
But here's where the butt comes in. So I don't know about you guys, but I kind of love the fact that the Lich King. I'm a World of Warcraft in this thing right now.
It's okay. I was following you.
Damn it, Matt. We know who you're talking about.
Let's just call him the Lich King. Let's call him the Lich King for this podcast.
Yeah, because he basically just created a Sindragosa.
That's exactly what it is. George R. R. Martin is ripping off Warcraft.
Yeah, HBO is totally ripping off the Lich King right now. But he speared the shit out of that dragon. Viserys. What's the dragon? Viserys, whatever it is.
Viserion.
He speared the shit out of that thing, and it like blew up. There's like blood splowing everywhere. I'm not gonna lie, that was awesome. I know some people
that was the coolest part of the whole entire show.
I know some people were bummed about it. You know, we talked about this on the Malice Court cast, but man, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm like, hell yeah! Like,
it was.
Now we're gonna have a dragon fight. Like, we weren't gonna have a dragon on dragon fight, but now we're gonna have like a dragon on dragon fight. Like, this is gonna be some cool
stuff. We all knew it was gonna happen.
Oh, absolutely! Like, Like, we knew once she threw away Tyrion's word and she was like, fuck you, short man. I'm going to go save my boy Jon Snow. All I can think about is that 8 inches of Jon Snow.
Eight inches of snow.
That's all she wanted, right? She wanted to go save herself some of the Stark D. So she goes, and you knew that one of the dragons was going to die.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you guys are cool with it, right? You guys are on board with the dragon death.
I just think that the Night King should be awarded a gold medal.
Gold medal, yeah.
Because that was the best javelin throw of all
Track
time.
Track star for sure.
It didn't even look like he tried. I mean, I'm okay with the dragon dying, whatever. I mean, it's a dragon, big deal, right?
It is still a big deal.
In Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but
it was still kind of sad. I had a tear or two.
Old Yeller is way sadder.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was more sad when they had to kill off, you know, the direwolves than any of these dragons, man. Like, every direwolf death feels like you're taking a piece of my heart out, so.
Oh, when they had to kill Princess?
Oh, yeah, Princess was bad. But even, like, Shaggy Dog, right? Like, when Bolton killed Shaggy Dog, like, that was brutal, dude. Mm.
Yeah, it didn't tear me apart. Anything.
Yeah, I was cool with the dragon death. I'm not gonna lie, like that really didn't bug me too much.
It was an awesome death.
But you need that for that show right now because all we've seen is the dragons being fucking invincible. Yeah. And what's the point in even watching anything further on when you know the dragons are just gonna win?
Well, we kind of saw that in a latter episode when you saw the what was that called? The scorpion.
Scorpion, yeah.
And it didn't work.
It did work. It's
not well enough.
Well, I mean, he didn't aim it right. I mean, he shot the dragon in the shoulder, wasn't it?
That's where he javelined the dragon was in the shoulder. But here's the difference of that, and this is why I like that, is it showed how much more powerful the Lich King guy is than that scorpion bow, right? We see how much more powerful this enemy is than what the King's Landing
than what
be,
man
right?
is.
Like,
right.
That's what I actually really liked about it.
And now Daenerys sees that.
Is now
too.
We have like a real threat. Like going into King's Landing, like that's not gonna be a fucking fight. Like that's gonna be an ass kicking. Them being as fighting the North and fighting the White Walkers, and fighting the Night King up there, like that now is something to be terrified of. And that's
a battle royale.
That's why I liked that death more than anything, because it showed how much you should be afraid of these White Walkers.
Yeah.
Dude, that Night King's badass,
dude,
man.
So badass. So badass. so let's take a step off of that real fast, but let's talk Sansa and Arya. What are you guys thinking of this storyline?
Oh man, ooh. I want Arya to fucking shank her, man. Shank
her. Yes. Nick, what are you thinking, man?
Yes. I'm exactly on the same boat as Kenny there. I don't like Sansa.
Okay.
I've already voiced that opinion on this show before. And I really do hope that Arya, like I saw in the episode, continues to scare the shit out of Sansa and gets her to start acting right.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see her face change? She was like, fuck.
Because Sansa's a little bitch.
Yeah, well, then that's the thing is, like, yeah. I love how Arya called on the bullshit. Like, I don't need you. Nobody knows. Yeah, right? Nobody knows I'm fucking here. I could kill you, take your face, and I'll see what those pretty dresses are like for myself.
Yeah,
right.
That was like
I love that threat.
That was dope. So here's the thing, right? So here's two theories kind of floating around right now. Is one of the theories is that Littlefinger is a faceless man and he is playing a little bit deeper than what people think are. That he's taken faces, and maybe he's already taken Sansa's, maybe he's already taken Arya's, but maybe he's just acting on either one of those behalfs, right? Which I think it's a little far-fetched, because I don't think either of those girls are dead yet. I don't think either of them have been killed. And that's like the whole thing with the faces, right? You have to kill that person before you can gain their face, correct?
Correct. Okay.
So that's where I think the kind of holes fall with that one. Would be cool, would be a nice twist, would show the kind of how conniving and devious Littlefinger really is, and he's not just some puss bag that is, you know, manipulating little girls. But the thing I have about this, though, is the other theory that's kind of floating around is that Arya is trying to get him to come out of his hole and trying to get the snake to come out and to reveal himself as trying to play on these two.
Yeah.
And what kind of played off of that was when Arya gave Sansa the dagger, and she gives her the dagger, and then Arya goes against everything she's been taught and actually turns her back to who would be her perceived enemy. So one of two things right there, right? Either she's trying to play Sansa, trying to get, like I said, Littlefinger to kind of come out, you know, disarm her, whatever. But the other thing is that I think that's her showing Sansa that she trusts her. Like, I don't consider you an enemy. I don't consider you a threat because I'm willing to turn my back on you. I am not worried about you at all.
It also kind of shows, like, mind games that I have the upper hand on you and there's nothing you can do. It's like, I know you won't do anything. Hand you the dagger. I dare you.
Just calling on that bullshit. Like, come on, try some shit.
Yep. She's just daring her because she knows that she won't.
No, that works too. Absolutely. No, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I thought Arya's fucking scary, dude.
Hell like, yeah.
Dude, I love Arya. I love me some Arya.
Yeah,
love me
well,
some
and the
Arya.
Thing is like, especially with this episode, I'm like, I don't want to hear these chicks talk anymore. Like, I'm tired of them sitting here and playing this stupid game. Like, make some shit happen, do some shit, or get over with it. Like, I'm tired of listening to you two bicker and moan and cry about who's right and who's wrong, da 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 da. And when Arya made that threat, like, I was like, oh hell yeah, like shit's about to go down. Like, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sansa just continues to go back to Littlefinger, and that's exactly what Littlefinger wanted.
Well, and that's one of those things, right? Like, and that's one of the things that, you know, we talked a lot about, right? Like, Sansa, she got her, and this is where Sansa's fucking up, and I know people can either agree with me that I'm not a big fan of Sansa either, but her biggest thing is, like people say, she got trained by Cersei, so everybody thinks Sansa's like this badass, cutthroat chick or whatever, right? But Cersei's biggest problem is she isolates herself. Where what Sansa needs to be doing is embracing her family, keeping people close, and all she's trying to do is push everybody away and isolate who she is and what she's doing. And that's tearing everybody apart. And I think the biggest part of that was when she sends Brienne south and sends Brienne away.
Yeah.
So, first of all, Tormund is going to come back and beat the shit out of Sansa because she sent away his big, beautiful woman because they're going to make giant babies together.
Oh yeah, giant babies.
Oh, it's
love it. Dude, Tormund. They is awesome. Are going to.
He's one of my.
He's
favorite
my favorite.
Characters.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's overtaken the Hound. Dude, as my favorite character.
I seriously would have cried if Tormund.
Dude,
died.
If Tormund died, like, and that's the thing. Like, they did this in Battle of the Bastards where he almost got killed, and now they did it with this one. And every time Tormund is ready to go down, I'm like ready to riot. I'm like, fuck no, I will riot in the streets. Yeah. Like hell, fury.
I love when he's walking with Jon. He's like, "How do you handle the cold?" What does he say? Walking, yeah. Fucking's
the best. Though. Like, yeah, absolutely. And my favorite part was when the Hound is like that big bitch, the blonde one. He's like, "Yeah," and she looks at you like she's gonna rip your liver out. He's like, "Yeah," like she's gonna kill you. He's like, "Absolutely."
You're with Brienne
yeah,
of
Tormund loves it.
Not yet, but
oh man, and that scene reminded me.
He's like, it's gonna happen.
Reminded me of was Billy Madison, where he's like, that Veronica Vaughn is
one piece of ace.
Them being like, that Brianna Tarth is one fine piece of ace. Like,
I know from experience. No, you don't.
So,
but I have this friend.
That shit's funny, man. I loved that scene. I thought that was really good.
I got an issue with. Can I talk about my issues with the
episode?
That's what I wanted to get into.
So I just want to talk about a little bit of everything, kind of get everything out of the way, because I have a couple issues as well. But Kenny, I'll let you take over first, sir.
First issue is John getting saved by his uncle.
Okay, all right, let's talk about this, because Nick, hold on.
Hold on.
What'd you think about this real fast? Because I think...
I thought it was very fitting,
okay.
Because...
Ben, no! Shut the hell up, you're done talking. Kenny, let's go.
All right, let's do this. I'm sorry. That was just
what?
Like... That was just it like,
was
okay, let's create some
it
suspense.
It was a useless...
Who can save that
it was
guy?
A...
Oh, his uncle that we've never
it was,
seen.
First of
yeah,
all...
But
ahead.
He had nothing else that he was doing. I think that his whole entire purpose was to save John. And then...
No, here's the thing.
Or Brandon
it was John. It was a shitty way for the writers to try to tie up a loose end, and it was a useless death for Benjen Stark. Benjen Stark meant way more to this story than him running in with a fucking Catholic essence infuser and fucking swinging around with fire inside and smashing up White Walkers and then dying 5 seconds after he puts John on a horse.
And why couldn't two people get on that horse?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. It could have easily been possible.
Why isn't Benjen picking him up and putting him over the horse and then taking off?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because he's doing the whole entire Jon Snow
yeah.
thing. The same thing of why Jon Snow didn't
because
get on the dragon.
The writers went, shit, we only got 7 episodes. I can't think of a way that we can justify killing off Benjen Stark. Let's have him make a dumber move than when Jon Snow wouldn't hop on the fucking dragon and get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that was a shitty way for that to be resolved. I mean, I was
yeah,
thinking
it was a horrible
know,
way.
I'm,
it was a horrible way.
There had to have been a better way to do that.
I see where you guys are coming from, but to me, I mean, I know
where
you
I'm
already
from.
Ganged up on me on this, but I still think that it was kind of because Benjen was like pretty much half
absolutely
dead, right?
No, I get that. Like, yeah.
and I think it just fits for the narrative for me that you know. He went out doing something that was for the greater good, which was saving Jon
yeah.
Snow. And then before that, he saved Bran.
Yeah, my thing was is Benjen Stark rolling around with a flaming incense like smoker from like all I think about is being in church and the priest walking by with
yeah.
the essence, you know, the incense, you know, the ash infuser, the burning incense shit. And I was just like, what the hell is this thing? Like, I just thought it was a really cheap way to kill off a character that could have done something much more and prepared that these armies a lot more for the White Walkers, and for him to go out that way, I just didn't feel did justice to that character at all.
No,
but what I do, but
it was a cop
out.
So much of a cop out.
What I do think is that I wish that Benjen went down killing a whole lot more White Walkers and getting a little bit.
Well,
more
and that's
action.
What I'm saying. Like he should have been.
He went down.
He should have went and been able to help out the Wall to repel an attack. And had one of those epic moments where we're like, hell yeah, Benjen's the shit, and then have him being felled by, you know, the Night King or one of his assassins or a giant or the new bone dragon Sindragosa. Like, I mean, there could have been so much better ways for him to go and be more meaningful, because I think he really could have done a whole lot
to help prepare these armies to fight off the White Walkers, but now he's gone for really a useless reason that made no sense. I mean,
he's not able to get back on the wall anyways, isn't he? Because I thought I remember part of the storyline was that he wasn't able to
cross back over, but that's the thing. He could have stayed at the wall there. Like, that's the thing. Like, he could have stayed there to help those armies prepare.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see where you guys are coming from. If I could change something, I would have had him go out in a more badass way to where he was killing, like, several White Walkers. Maybe some cool battle scene. But I really don't have
that big of an issue with that. It would have been way cooler for me if he showed up on a hill by there and slapped a horse towards John and just looked at him, and John hopped on the horse and left. That has the same effect for me, because to see him, like, literally swing that thing once and then just die, it's like, really,
that's the part I didn't like, to where he died too quickly. He, like, swung it a couple times.
Well, here's my thing, though, right? If he's been sitting on that fucking hill watching everybody, and he knew he could clear a path through White Walkers, like, why not, while they're all running into the lake there, come down, clear a path, let the Fellowship run up with him and kind of get to a new place, and then have a different fight scene where Daenerys comes in, I mean, and stretch that timeline out a little bit, because it was a little weird that, you know, we spend a couple of days of north of the wall, and Gendry gets back, sends the Raven, and then Daenerys is up there before these guys all freeze to death within, you know, maybe a few hours. So,
yeah, exactly.
That just seemed like it was a little too rushed, and I really think that we could have had a way better cliffhanger. Like, how much more important? I mean, they're gonna have to do some crazy shit for this season finale for me to, like, really be excited about that last season, because what we could have had was Benjen Stark coming in, being a badass, saving this Fellowship, getting it ready. And then we could have had Daenerys come in for the season finale episode and lose her dragon there, and that's our cliffhanger, is watching a dragon get turned into a White Walker going into the last season of season.
Yeah, that would have been better. I agree with you, Matt, to see the dragon die on the last episode of the season, not the second.
Yeah,
to
because
last.
Here's the thing, I don't want to get all the memes about fucking Blue Eyes Yu-Gi-Oh dragons for a year and a half, man. Like, we're already going to get blue-eyed dragon memes from Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff about this. I wish we could have got it a week later. So.
Yeah, but I just think they really... I thought everything else about that scene was okay, but I just think they really failed on that last part.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree.
So overall, you did think that it was kind of okay. You just didn't like the way that he went out.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like...
I just thought it was...
I don't like the decision from Jon Snow to not hop on and take off. I don't like the decision for Benjen to come in.
Well, that's a whole entire...
Yeah, I don't like... And I don't like the decision for Benjen Stark to come in and get rocked, you know, within a couple seconds, so...
Yeah, okay, now I'm starting to agree with you more and more, because it didn't seem like the show did Benjen Stark enough justice to where he got rocked in just that couple of seconds instead of putting up more of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, it just isn't. Benjen Stark has been about survival this whole time he's been in the North, and for him to just kind of give his life away like that, I mean, yes, it is for Jon Snow, and he knows Jon is very important, I get that. But for him to just kind of give it away instead of trying to get Jon out of there himself, it just didn't seem like it was a proper motivation for that character. And to tell you the truth, if I was that actor, I would have given HBO the finger and said, fuck off. Like, you'd find someone else to do that. If you're going to use me for 40 seconds of screen time, feel free to throw somebody else in the cape, man. Like, in the cowl. Like, get, you know, fuck off.
Can I talk about the second issue?
Let's
talk about the second one.
I don't like the love story, man.
Is there a love story between Jon Snow and Daenerys?
I mean, obviously.
They're insinuating it.
All I'm saying is her lips...
Being heavily insinuated.
Her lips were really blue on that ship when she woke Jon Snow up from being so cold, is all I'm saying. You look at that scene, and she had some really blue lips when Jon was really cold. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm pretty sure they're incesting that something should happen.
Incesting.
Ooh, like
fantastic.
Pardon the pun.
Use of words.
But really though, I mean, I feel like that's just being forced because that's what the fans want. I do not like that idea of these two just meeting each other, and now, like, she's holding his hand at the bedside. I think that's fucking corny, man, and I don't like corn.
Producers, it seems like the producers and the directors of the show are trying to give the fans what they want, and they shouldn't be doing that. They should be using their creative instincts, not just doing something because
they haven't given us anything that we wanted for a long fucking time, so why should they start now, right? And the thing is like, this would be a battle where, yes, Daenerys would change her mindset. Like, all right, I see what you're talking about, Jon. I'm in. Let's fight this off. Let's do this together. I'm in. Let's go rock some shit. I get that, but for them to all of a sudden be like, oh, Jon, oh, give me your hand. You have so many deep holes in your body.
She definitely wants that monster.
She ain't got to worry about that 8 inches of snow so much. That's for sure.
She wants that snowman.
She wants that snowman.
It's just something about it just really rubs me the wrong way. I mean, I think, you know what? Hey, that's Jorah's, man. Jon better stay
back. That's what I'm saying. That's what my thing was.
Here's what I'm saying. Daenerys.
Jorah, he ain't gonna die easy, man. He almost fell off that dragon, but he's like, hell no, Jon Snow's dead. This is my chance. I can't die now.
This is my chance.
I can't give up yet.
Daenerys, trust me. Go. Yeah. Just go.
Yeah, get the hell out of here, Daenerys. Leave that shit behind. Jon isn't coming.
You know what
he's like kicking Jon Snow off the dragon. Like, fuck you. Like,
You're weighing us down.
We gotta lose some weight.
You know what this show made very evident to me that's eventually going to happen? And I think, Matt, you mentioned this a couple casts ago, but I think it's very evident that Daenerys is going to die.
Oh, absolutely. She's going to die.
Because she makes decisions off of her emotions, and she doesn't think it through.
Nah,
so it's going to lead to
Absolutely. It'll absolutely.
She's
well, here's the thing. Not yet, because she still has a guardian angel in Jorah Mormont who will sacrifice himself for her. So she's got one freebie with Jorah, but she can't be making multiple of these mistakes. And I think the death of Jorah is what will get her to trigger and start listening to Tyrion more and stop jumping the gun, because she'll lose that person who cares so much about her and has done so much for her. And she'll lose him because of a situation like this. Even one of her own children, this dragon dying, will not change her yet. She'll have to lose Jorah or somebody, you know. I think it's going to have to be Jorah or Grey Worm or Missandei, somebody like that she's going to have to lose. And one of them are going to have to die, and more than likely it'll be Jorah, for her to understand, I got to stop, you know, fucking jumping the gun and actually start using my head and listening to people around me.
I still think she's going to die. I don't like the way she talks to Tyrion.
No, me either. Don't talk to my little guy like that.
Tyrion's about show him some respect.
Two things now that we still have to talk about here. So the first one is, did you see the eyes on Longclaw open, Kenny, when Jon Snow jumped out the water?
Sorry, say that one more time?
The eyes on the sword.
Eyes
on that sword open up when Jon pops out of the water. So you watch the scene again. The eyes on the sword are absolutely closed. And then when he comes out of the water, they open back up. So my thing is this Bran watching in on his brother, and Bran able to take over any wolf character, sword, anything like that? Because they've always said that the items and weapons are magical of Valyrian still. Is this a living weapon that Bran is so dope with that he can actually go in and take over a blade now?
That is what I'm thinking. Is that Bran somehow warged into that sword?
I think it's an awesome idea. I think that's the kind of shit that I hope they're writing, because that shit would be dope.
It would be so freaking awesome. I can't really think of any other explanation but Bran, because anything else would be a disappointment.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Did you end up seeing that, Kenny?
I noticed it. I don't know why I didn't think a lot about it, but now that it sounds like it's more important than I thought.
I think there's
going
to be something to that. And there's arguments all over the internet where people are just like, it's shitty graphics, it's shitty CGI, and the eyes on that wolf are absolutely opening. Like, they're absolutely opening.
That is on purpose.
Yeah, that's 100% on purpose. They spent way too long zoomed in on the head of that sword.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's no denying that.
100%. So, here's the thing, right? So let's just talk some theories. Let's get this thing over with. So what are you guys' theories for the season finale? Like, what do you think is going on? What do you hope doesn't happen? Like, talk us through that. Nick, what you got?
Here, let me do one theory that I heard about that actually pissed me off. First, I just want to get it off my chest. So my brother told me that he was talking to someone at the office. Your water cooler talks, and one of his friends, who is a huge Game of Thrones nerd, said that he thought that Arya wasn't really Arya. That he thinks that something happened to her at the House of Black and White to where Yaqin Hagar is now Arya Stark.
Who the fuck
and
is that?
I was like,
the guy that she
went
and trained from at the House of Black and White.
I thought you were asking who was the guy that asked. No, Yaqin Hagar was was the leader. I thought you were asking about who my brother was talking to.
No, that's a rumor floating around. There is a theory floating around the internet of that as well.
That theory right there would make me so upset if it was not Arya and it turned out to be Yaqin Hagar.
I don't see any way that could be possible.
But then why would he go to the books?
Yeah, why would he do
the
that?
Thing is, in the books, like Yaqin Hagar and that girl that were in the show, they weren't around in the books. Like, that's not who trained Arya. Like, there was some other guy that trained Arya in the House of Black and White. Is that correct, Nick? Like, am I right on that or am I wrong?
I think so. I think the movie, the TV show.
I think they threw that in there. So the thing is there was no plan on that ever happening. And the thing was, is they took George R. Martin's like final thoughts on how Arya was going to finish her story and Jon Snow was going to finish his story. Like they have all those notes of how he planned on finishing each of these characters. And I highly doubt he would have done that to Arya, because that's actually a character he seemed to enjoy writing and had a pretty good plan for. So for me to have her killed off and that be somebody else, first of all, it doesn't make any sense for the House of Black and White to get involved in what the fuck's going on with the Stark household right now.
Right.
They
Absolutely.
Have zero Thank reason you. To be up there. And secondly, they have even less of a reason to be dealing with anything Littlefinger-wise. And if it really was Arya, she wouldn't have gone north to her family. She would have headed south to King's Landing and dealt with Cersei, because they actually had some skin in that game with the Iron Banks and shit like that at King's Landing, with being owed money and stuff like that. So she wouldn't be in there doing personal shit like she's doing if she was, in fact, another version or somebody else from the House of Black and White. So
I think someone's just trying to dig a little too deep.
Somebody's stretching on that. That's a tough one for sure. Just like with the Littlefinger being a member and already killing Arya off, like that's a stretch one too. You know, there's a lot of stretch theories.
Right.
And I love the justifications that people have for some of this stuff. And some of them are really well thought out and really well done. But at the same time, like some of that shit's like, I don't see the motivation there. So
that's one thing
that I heard that I was just like, my God.
I mean, why go back to whatever that house was and kill everyone? Yeah. Why would you do that?
There's not a purpose around that. They have no skin in the game for this Game of Thrones. Like, they don't have any purpose.
It's more of one of those theories that has no substance to back it up. Still kind of interesting to hear, but there's there's no substance behind it.
Well, the finale is going to be 80 minutes.
The finale is
going to
be 80 minutes, yeah. So it's going to be 80 minutes. Nick, do you have any theory for that finale? Do you have anything that you think is going to happen?
I think there's going to be a showdown between the Mountain and the Hound.
I like that. Who's going to die in the last episode, Nick?
I think the Hound's going to die. I think the Mountain's going to take him out.
Okay.
I don't think they're even going to see each other in the last episode.
Well, they're all heading south with the White Walker, the captive White Walker, to go and show Cersei.
I don't think they'll end up fighting or anything, though.
We'll see.
Do you think they'll actually end up there, though? I feel like they're just fucking teasing.
I think they'll make it down there.
I didn't watch the preview for it, so
I didn't watch
the
preview either. I don't watch previews on the show, so...
Just to spoil something, it does show Jon Snow talking to Cersei.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, thanks, Nick.
You son of a bitch.
That was on a preview. You could have seen that.
So, Kenny, what's your theory for the finale, and who do you think's going to die?
I really don't have... I haven't thought that deep about it. I mean, Game of Thrones always really confuses me, but it's obvious that a big character is going to have to die, and I don't think the Hound is a big enough of a character for them to kill off in a finale. I think someone's going to have to die, and it'd be nice to see Littlefinger die, personally.
I don't know
how it would happen or anything, but I see a more critical character dying than the Hound.
The Hound is pretty big. It's been around.
The Hound has a pretty big fan following, and the thing is, dying to his brother, the Mountain, or those two killing each other off, something like that would be pretty big for sure.
But I think if they did, when they do fight, the Hound will win.
Yeah, I think the Hound will kill his brother, the Mountain, for sure. I definitely think that'll happen. So I was in the, where all great and terrible thoughts occur. I was in the shower this morning, and I was thinking about this, right? I was thinking, like, what would be, like, a crazy theory? And I'm just going to throw this out there, and I kind of hate myself for this theory, and I'm telling you right now, on the air, we're recording this on August 24th, Thursday, so it's time-stamped at this moment, and if this happens, I want you guys to not only worship me as a god, but then I want you to fucking kill me because I kind of hate this theory, but I'm going with it anyways.
So, oh, damn. I kind of don't want to hear it
now. Cersei and her maester have already created a Walking Dead type of character with the Mountain. They've already created, like, a zombie Frankenstein character with this. I think that Jon Snow is going to take this White Walker down to Cersei. Cersei's going to go, I can get more of these fucking guys? Can I control these guys? And there is going to be a plague of White Walkers released upon King's Landing, and you are going to get Walking Dead fucking Game of Thrones and creating the zombie apocalypse in King's Landing to now be forced from the southern hemisphere and the northern, collapsing onto the middle, where we're going to have zombies and White Walkers everywhere.
I would love to see that.
That'd be kind of cool. But then again, that would, like, change Game of Thrones into The Walking Absolutely. Dead. It would just be in medieval
but
times.
That's my thing. I think Cersei's going to try to harness the power of the White Walkers instead of trying to kill the White Walkers, realizing that this is her way to kill her enemies. This is her way to bolster her army, because they've already figured out a way to control one Walking Dead character with the Mountain. Why can't she figure out how to control all of these characters?
I definitely am on board.
But the Mountain wasn't a White Walker.
The Mountain was not a White Walker, but he's dead. He was a disembodied corpse they brought back to life, just like the Night King does with his corpses north of the Wall. The difference is that he does it with magic, and then Cersei's doing it with her maesters and science and alchemy. And it's just like a dragon fire, right? She has the green, what do they call that? Wildfire, and the dragons use, theirs. It's the same power or anything like that. It's just created through alchemy rather than magic. And I think they're going to try to do something to harness that power of White Walkers versus trying to help them kill them off.
That's Cersei's
because
MO.
Cersei has said she'd rather watch it burn to ashes than to give it up freely and to fight it off. And I think she'd be willing to, I think in her mind, having a kingdom of Walking Dead that she can control is just as good as a kingdom of living people that she can control.
God, I don't want that to happen, but yeah.
You're welcome, everybody. New theory right here. You heard it, Nerd Mosh Pit style. We got there. It was kind of weird. I'm sweating a little bit thinking about it. But you heard it here first. So enjoy that. Suck on it a little bit. Let us know what you think. Hit us up, nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. Follow me. You can even hit us up on Twitter at nerdmoshpit. Big Papa Matt on Twitter. Even hit me up at Son of Maku. We can play some video games. And you can kill me while we're playing like Battlefield or something and tell me how wrong my theory is. But let us know what you guys think of that. I don't have anything else for the show, guys. What you got?
Sorry for being late.
It looks like I've stunned you guys into silence. One that I love.
Just don't let it happen again, Kenny.
King of Dragons. Breaker of Chains.
Nick, where can everybody find you at?
You can send me a quick email if you like what you hear, or if you don't like what you hear, just send me a quick email, nick_pain@live.com.
Also, let's say nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. You can get to the Nick as well. Kenny, where can everybody find you?
Find me on PlayStation Network and pretty much most gaming consoles, SYL Barefoot.
I like it. So cool, you guys. Like I said, Big Bob and Matt, Nerd Mosh Pit, check us out. Figure out what you want to do with us. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Son of Maku, SONOFMAKU on PlayStation Network. I can't wait to talk to you guys more. Really appreciate the time. Leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe, like, iTunes, Stitcher, all those wonderful things. Episode 11, over and out.
What was that dude's name? That little guy that he had that little roller coaster made for him.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one was.
He kept on laughing.
He's like, I've always loved you. He's like, you're the only guy that's ever not judged me.
It's curtains for you, Dr. Horton. Lacy, gently wafting curtains.
It's been fun. Don't come back.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.